So thank you, Bob, for reading the word for us this morning, the main passage that we'll be looking at. And we're through an Advent series, the worship services. Last week, of Christ, the stories that we keep, the reason we chose that passage this morning. And we cover prophet, Bob, by him. And this we'll be looking at our priest, look at Christ. Anything that we do, just more than us just changing our perspective. Just this morning, too, some people back there, a nervousness like a judge talk up at night as something that is a big burden, but rather it's a blessing because we bring our children to sleep. And even the trial we face in life, James means it's producing steadfastness. And so, a big problem I came across this week, I've never done a topical sermon, is trying to cover this big category, our priest. And the problem is not that there's not enough. The problem, we have a gravest Savior, and how are we trying to contain all of this in a single Sunday sermon? So it's a problem. It's a really good thing. Sunday is that words that we preach here will do justice for just how great our God is. Sunday after Sunday, we get glimpses of God's glory, of His magnificence, but it's just a drop in the ocean of how glorious He is. And so this morning, as we talk about Him as our priest, our great high priest, there's probably several I'm going to leave out, but I encourage you, if you want to take a Bible home, be a good person and see what I missed, I would encourage you to do that. And to also follow along closely if there's anything that I say that's out of line. But my prayer is that by God's grace this morning, that you and I would be able to see God's glory, just a glimpse of it. And if you don't know Christ, and that if you have not been born again, that you would see His beauty. That you would see the superior high priest, one who is sufficient and worthy of your praise and worthy of your life. This morning separates into three sections as we look at this. First, He has appeared. We are in our morning passage. He is now appearing for us in the present, and He will appear again as our great high priest. Or yet pray again. Father, I thank you this morning again that we get to gather around your as sinners in the great heart cannot do. And to see who you are, you, the high priest. God, I pray that you would, anybody this morning who did not know you, who might still be in rebellion against you or going their own way, Lord, would you show them their sin and would you show them your glory and your perfection? It is in Jesus' name that we pray this morning. So if you were to encounter a Christian this week that might be going through some of the hardest trials they've ever been through in their life, some of the worst suffering that they've ever been in their life, what is it that you tell a believer? Or what is it that you are telling yourself whenever you are going through moments? What word of encouragement would you have for that person? Many of you, as we want to keep just reading in our Sunday service, is exactly what those even that you experienced. Their trials and sin, they were surviving, contemplating, turning, execution, returning to duty as specific. But the book of Hebrews, full of language of encouragement, exhortation, and comfort to those who are suffering, and giving reason after reason to not turn away. And so the encouragement the writer of Hebrews gives is not something, it's not necessarily a new perspective, but it is someone. That's someone that we are celebrating this Christmas season. Someone who's preeminent, supreme, superior, and someone who is better. A word that we see throughout the book of Hebrews is better. As the writer walks through reason by reason, Jesus, he is better. In 7:19, we have a better hope. In 7:22, Jesus, we have a better covenant. In 10:34, because of Christ, we have a better possession. 11:16, in Christ, we are headed for a better country. 11:5, and a better hope. And then here in 9:23 this morning, we see sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews, and God this morning, he wants us, just suffering Christians, to see that Christ is better. See, in Christ, everything is better. What the old covenant, the rules, and the pre-testament could accomplish, and what they needed to accomplish in the first place, Jesus has accomplished. Accomplished this one better sin-atoning sacrifice on the cross. From the old covenant to the new, we see it's being replaced. Shadows of the Old Testament are now replaced by the real thing. The types that pointed forward to Christ this morning, the cup were played by reality and the substance of Jesus Christ. The promises that were given in the Old Testament were by fulfillment. They had fit in Jesus Christ. And these things accomplished Calvary. And so we're going to try to stick to of our is to look at Christ. His person is, and also the way that he points to looking at what he's already done, what he is doing, and what he is still doing. So number one, Christ has appeared. He appeared to put away sin. Hebrews 9:25-26. It tells us from a passage this morning, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly every year his blood, for then he would have had to suffer repeated predation of the world. He has appeared the age of. See, there was a problem that the old covenant could never solve. And as I said this early, it was never needed to solve in the first place. Jesus is not a plan B because the old covenant didn't have to work out. And God used those types to point forward to the supreme high priest who would come. We are told in Hebrews, the Old Testament sacrifices, they are repeated again and again, and yet they were incomplete. The blood symbols they could not satisfy, but blood had to be shed. It was pointing forward. They were insufficient. So Christ, he didn't just come to bring other offering to add the Old Testament. No. Not even a true offering. What was a shadow, he brings the real thing. The thing that all the offering pointed to, and that was himself for us. And he came once for all, but again. Never to be supplemented, never to be improved again and again like those of the old covenant. Christ sacrificed, and Christ sacrificed fully reconciled this. And so, to leave Christ is to reject the insufficient sacrifice that there is. In their mind, they wanted to turn back to a system that they thought they've going through. He said again in Hebrews that toward Christ, no second solution to our sin. It's true for no other way to the Father except through sacrifice of his Son. For from his release, verse 16, it tells us confidence, draw near to the grace that we may receive and grace to help in time of need. We talked about this at school, but we are to approach with confidence. So we hear about how Jesus, he was tempted as we were, and yet he was without. And so because of that, we can approach with confidence. And so we, this morning, as we approach God in worship, as we sing, as last week we took communion together, we are commanded to, with confidence, a problem. How are we drawn near to God? No, like a method, is not that bad. This is what we are far more sinful, we know, and God is far more holy, we can understand in our carnal minds. We come with confidence because there is one who became filthy. We see this in the Christmas story of God the flesh. He became poor so that we could become rich. He was baptized into our sins so that we might be baptized into his righteousness. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might be righteous. So the reason we can come with confidence this morning to worship God It's not an arrogance. It's not a lack of reverence. Rather, we come with a humble confidence. That might be a sound like they don't make sense together. We're humbled because of what we have saved from. We are confident in sin atoning work of sin. So when you battle with this script, you are to approach the faith. And their love, for every look at your, take 10 looks at Christ's confidence. It's a human, but an insult to us. And so don't come on your confidence outside yourself, just outside yourself. Christ alone. This is what Christ has done. It is finished. But amazingly, the cross is not the end of this, especially as we look at Jesus as our priest. Our Savior, he rose from the grave. He defeated the great enemy, Satan, death and sin, and he ascended into heaven, and he led a host of captives. That's what we talked about in Ephesians in Sunday school. He defeated these enemies. He defeated Satan and death and sin, and then he gave us his Spirit. But how about right now, as we worship together in the present? We see what Christ has done, but what about when we worship together right now? What does it do? Christ appears now in the presence of God for us. So we're going to look at Hebrews 9:20 next. So in Hebrews 9:24, we see, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear to God on our behalf." Hebrews 7:25, it says, "Consequently, he is able to save to those who to God through him." And so we have saving work, and if he has began it in us, it is as sure as he says, "Who has began, who finished." We see as which he has given now, and he will moaning ceaseless with before for all whom the Father has given the Son. You've heard the word intercession before. We don't, but we might not fully cry for us right now. What is Jesus' intercession interceding about, and who is he in? About the same intercession here in Romans 8:34, he says, "Christ." When we think about Jesus' intercession for us, think that he is pleading with the Father, begging him to bless his people. And the truth is, this is off. This is not correct. Our Lord Jesus, he's not trying to persuade a reluctant, frowning father, or pleading with the father as if his sacrifice is not enough. John 16, reminded on 6, Jesus speaking to his disciples, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father half, for the Father loves you." Trinity odds with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit loves you and believed. We see some of the most staggering words in just John 9. As the Father has loved, Jesus said, "I loved you." Try to wrap your head this morning that Jesus loves you as much as the Father. The Father is convincing from his Son to believe, but Jesus himself is the gift of the Father's love to us. That is our joy this Christmas season. That is proof of the Father's love to us. He sent his Son. And so part of his intercession is his presence at the right hand of his Father. His nail-pierced hands and his feet are his intercession. Just as a high priest appeared to Israel on the Day of Atonement, Jesus appears in the presence of the Father on our behalf, our mediator, as we talked about last week. And the Father is pleased with the atoning work of his Son. It was enough. So when the Father looks at the atoning work of his Son, he sees his perfect, obedient life that has won everything good for all his people. He sees his people united in Christ. In Ephesians, we've been seeing repeatedly this, our unity with Christ. We are in Christ. And by his obedience unto death, he has won everything. And so now we took a glimpse of what that interest is, but what specifically is he interceding for us about? Well, 17, before Jesus is arrested, what is that prayer called before he was arrested? It's called the high priestly prayer. And what did he do? He prayed, first of all, for himself, that he would be glorified. He prayed for disciples, and then he also prayed for future believers. He's praying for us in this passage, in John 17, high priestly prayer, because this moment highlights Jesus' role as the perfect mediator and sacrifice, fulfilling the high priesthood. He is the ultimate between God and his people. In John 17, a few things that we see he prays for us. The verse says, but that you keep the evil one. Father beholds his son, his perfect sacrifice. He sees the triumph of the great enemy, Satan. And because of Jesus' intercession, we will be kept from evil because our victorious Redeemer. This was him praying the high priestly prayer, but he's interceding for us, and he intercedes for us now. Seven, he sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He is, we would, as we have learned Ephesians, as to lives worthy of the calling which have been called, ultimately sanctified unto the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's in verses 20 to 26, that they all be one, just as you, Father, and me, and peoples, tribes, nations, and will be united in confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then last, for whom is interceding? Hebrews 7:25, we just went over this earlier, but read it. Though he always lived in intercession, save, and interceding for us to draw near to God. And so if you to God, be encouraged, he is holding you fast. He is interceding for you right now. He is continuing work of salvation. So why does this matter for us? Why does this matter for that we visited earlier, struggling believer, fighting unbelief, perhaps persecution in their life? Because your salvation is not held by your consistency or your solid belief in him or your own zeal, but it is upheld by Christ's unceasing intercession right now. So don't give yourself too much credit whenever you see Christ change your heart, that you may bear fruit. Remember, he is interceding for you. Since God, it is prayer, the ongoing perfect intercession. You are to the uttermost because your priest never stops being your priest. Happening right, he's continually interceding at the right hand of the Father, and his sacrifice was enough. We can recall the words of Jesus to Peter as Jesus got closer to his crucifixion. He said in Luke 22, verse 31, where right after Peter talks about his zeal, that he would never leave Jesus' side, go with him until death. What does Jesus tell him before this? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have you, that he must lie. I have prayed for you, that your faith may be. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And so we have a priest who is interceding for Peter. And so we mentioned briefly this confidence that we have before the throne of God. And it does not depend on the strength of our faith. Because often our faith, it is weak and it is trembling in different seasons of our life. But it is not about the strength of your faith, but rather it is the object of your faith that makes it so great, because his sacrifice was enough. You're not a Christian necessarily because of faith, but because your faith in Jesus Christ. At times our faith will fail us, but Jesus Christ will never fail us. He saves to the uttermost all who come to God through him. And if you find yourself not in Christ this morning, there is hope. If you are hearing his word this morning, draw near to him, as the verse tells us, because he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near. So draw near through the sacrifice of Christ. Those who believe in his name, who who receive him, John 1 tells us, he gives the right to become children of God, to be adopted into the family of Christ. And finally, our great high priest is not only active in the past, in the present right now. Sorry, excuse me. Got some. So our great high priest is not only active in the past and present, the same Jesus who ascended will return, and that future changes how we endure today. Our great priest will return again. Hebrews 9:28 mentions this. It says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. He has appeared, he is appearing, he will appear, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So cling to Christ this day. Hold fast to the better high priest, our supreme high priest. Christ, who has appeared once, cling to him. He has appeared once to put away sin. Cling to Christ. He appears now in heaven for you. At this very moment, your salvation is resting on a living Savior who never stops interceding. And cling to Christ, who will appear again to finish this work of salvation, bring home, and to make salvation sight. And so the call of Hebrews is the same call for us this morning. Fix your eyes. There is no better place. There is no better hope. There is no better priest. He is our better, superior, great, high priest. Father, thank you this morning as we see your glory. God, would you help us to be able to see it? We thank you that you gave the perfect sacrifice, and that you are now interceding for us, and that you will finish this work that you have began in us. And God, we just pray this morning for also for those who are not sure whether they are in you or not. Lord, would you help them to rely on the strength of their faith, the one in whom to put their faith in, you, because your work was sufficient and it pleased the Father, and we have this confidence in you. And God, would you just guide our hearts now as we worship today, and in our meeting after this, would you be with us? And we praise your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.